ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 ज्ञानतिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय श्री गुरवे नमः नाम श्रेष्ठं मनम सच्चिकुत्रं अत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याभुजं गुरुप्रेमाधुरीं भक्तिं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं भक्तस्य पथिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीपत्पदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागजातं सागनलग्नपण्डितं तपस्वीवं साद्वैतं सावद्भूतं भजनसहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादा सहगनलिता शिवशाखा Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Back home, back to Godhead is a phrase that Srila Prabhupada often used. He got this from his own guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who would often use this phrase, back home, back to Godhead, which means going from this material world to the spiritual world where we belong. This word home doesn't have an exact equivalent in Indian languages. There's a distinction in English between a house and a home. A home gives the sense of a place to which we belong. Just like all of you here, or the great majority of you here, spending most of your life in this phase of your life, or many of you have spent most of this lifetime, living in the United Arab Emirates, but you don't think of it as home. Is it not? You think of India, Nepal, Bangladesh, wherever you were born in this lifetime as your home. This is a temporary place. Even though you spend a lot of time here, you don't... And even though it's quite comfortable and life goes on without, for most people, without major disturbances, still, even though all facilities are there for living comfortably and you have your friends and, like I said, life goes on day by day, but still, it's not home. You don't feel fully comfortable because home is the place where we feel, yes, this is where I belong, this is my actual identity, these are the people who I am very intimately connected with, and who are very much concerned with me, not only my this home, but it's in the country that we belong in. So however nice life might be here, actually it's not as nice as people who come from India to work here think that it is. But from the material point of view, undoubtedly, many of the people who are working here are living in a manner which is more comfortable than the average of people all over the world. That's better standard of living. So even though all facilities are there for living comfortably, still we feel there's something missing. It's not a fault of the people here, but just we don't really belong here. But we should consider then what is home. Of course, when we say back to home, back to Godhead, it doesn't mean that exactly back home in the way that we think of it, that I'll go home to Calcutta, or I'll go home to Dhaka, or Kathmandu. The real home is where we really belong, with Krishna in the spiritual world. So this phrase is then, back home, back to Godhead, to emphasize that the real place where we belong is not in this world at all. And to think of any place in this world as our home is illusory, because it's temporary. Just like in this life I may think, now I'm going home. I have 2 weeks holiday and I'm going home. So we go home. And then we come back to Dubai to do work. And it goes on like this until we reach the age of 60 or whatever the retirement age is here. And then you have to go home and retire and stay there. But then you die and you get another body. And in that body we think, this is my home. The birds build a nest and they think this is our home. And it goes on like this after life after life. Some fish, they spawn their eggs in a river. Then the eggs hatch and the minnows, the little fish, they swim out to the ocean. And then again, the fish, the female, when she becomes pregnant, she comes back to the freshwater spawning ground. She finds her way back. So there's a sense of most creatures that this is the place where I belong. But it's illusory. We don't belong in this material world at all. So to cultivate a sense that I don't belong here, I belong somewhere else, is very favorable for cultivating Krishna consciousness. Of course, we should know what that other place is. There are many people who feel that they don't really belong here in this society or civilization. It's not very common in India, but it is common enough in the Western world that people don't feel as if they're integrated. They feel like, I just don't belong here. It's common enough that for maybe 100 years there's been a word in the English language, introduced, I believe, from French in the study of sociology, a term called anomie, which means a state of thinking that, well, I just don't belong here, I just don't fit in, I don't feel right in the whole society all around me. So that sense of feeling I don't belong here is very helpful if it's channeled in the right way, because actually we don't belong here. We don't belong to India or to Dubai or to England or to Swargaloka or to Narak. We don't belong here. We don't belong to the atmosphere of getting born, growing up, eating, sleeping, mating, passing stool, dying. We don't belong to this world. We are spiritual, which means, spiritual means three components or three aspects of spiritual. This word spiritual is often used. The actual meaning is can be summarized in three aspects. Sat, we are eternal. This world, we don't have an eternal existence. Whatever body we get, we have to die. Chit, means that we are conscious, so we also have consciousness in this world, but we're not. But our consciousness is perverted in the sense that we are aware. Consciousness means awareness, but we're not aware of actually who we are, where we should be, what we should be doing. And the nature of spirit is also ananda, to be full of joy. Which there is something in this world, but it's not satisfied. No one can be fully satisfied in this world. And even if we think that we're fully satisfied, then we become very dissatisfied that we have to die. We can't stay in the situation where we think, now everything is very nice. I've organized everything, so everything is very nice. And then, oh, now you have to go. No, there's no bargaining, no bribing, no reasoning. When death comes, you have to go. That's all. It's non-negotiable. We're under control of the laws of material nature. We're under the control of time. But spiritual means to be in a situation where we are eternal, we don't change that situation, we're fully cognizant of who we are, what we are supposed to be doing, and fully integrated and happy with that, fully happy. Often in this world we have what's, there's another, our psychologists have analyzed this common term, cognitive dissonance, where we see, we touch, we smell, we feel, we hear, but it doesn't seem to match up. What I see, what I expect, it doesn't match up. Just like, for instance, I think, I will smoke a cigarette, I will be happy. That's what it shows on the advertisements. So, I smoke a cigarette, and no happiness. But if you smoke enough, then you become addicted, and then you feel a craving for a cigarette, and then when you smoke it, there's the happiness of being released from the suffering of craving smoking. So that is happiness in this material world.
Beautiful.
Just a feeling of something's not right, and oh, okay, relief from suffering. Just like you experience here, you will start to experience in the next few months, the relief that you feel in coming from outside where the temperature is 45 Celsius or above and going into air conditioning. Ah, very nice. But then you get cold and sinus problems from the air conditioning being too cold, and going from hot to cold and cold to hot. And we're always trying to adjust everything, but somehow it doesn't work out. So home is the place where everything is nice. Everyone is friendly. No enemies. No one trying to get the better of us. No one trying to exploit us. So we might think that, well, home is, yeah, that's a place where everyone is nice to me, and generally people take to religion with the idea of this world is not very nice, but anyway, let's take to religion and get the blessings of God, and God will make it nice. And even if it's not nice, then later on we'll go to a place which is nice. We'll go to heaven and we'll be very happy. But there's no real understanding of what are the rules at home. Home doesn't mean a place where you go and you do whatever you like, however you like, whenever you like. There are rules also. In a good home there are rules. It's not just running wild. Home means parents are there and they are good well wishers, but they're strict also. If they're not strict, then the children, they also become wild, and then they're not happy. So there should be some rules at home also. So generally people have the idea that I will take to religion, and then by God's blessing I will go to heaven, where everything is very nice and we can enjoy ourselves very nicely. There's no conception or understanding that what is nice about home, the real home, back to Godhead, is God. And we are not God. That's another misconception. People think that, oh, then we'll do some meditation and then we'll become God. There was one Archbishop of Canterbury, means the head of the second, let's put it this way to be more precise, this in terms of institutional position, the second biggest Christian in the world after the Pope, or maybe the Orthodox Christians might, anyway, big man in Christianity, that the spiritual head of millions of Christians. So I many times quoted this because it's so absurd. He was asked, what do you want to do when you go to heaven? There are two problems with that in the very question. The first thing is presuming that he's going to heaven, because he is, actually, if you want to be more skeptical, there are more problems, because many people would say, well, there's no heaven anyway. But anyway, presuming that there is a heaven, and the archer, well, if he's not going, then what is the hope for anyone else? He's supposed to be the biggest Christian. Well, if we study the science of God, the Srimad as delineated Srimad Bhagavatam, or even what serves as an introduction to Bhagavad Gita, then there may be some doubts about his going to heaven. So that's the first problem. And no, well, maybe that's the second. The first problem comes in the question, what do you want to do? Because the whole conception of what I want to do, that is not devotion. That is not the essence of real religion. That means we're taking to religion with the idea of getting what I want. I will serve God or obey God for what I want. So it's not a very happy home if the children are always thinking what I can get from the parents. When they're very young, up in infant age, then that's expected. The parents serve the children, and when the baby wants anything, the baby just screams, and then this way they try to communicate what they want, although they can't communicate very lucidly, but the parents can guess that, well, maybe the child wants feeding, or they're trying to satisfy the child in some way. But it's expected that when the children get older, that they will stop just demanding from the parents and think how they can serve the parents. So the parents appreciate that reciprocation. So the idea of asking, what do you want to do? It's not a very good question. Rather we should think, bhakti, the spirit of devotion, is how we can serve Krishna, or how we can serve God, and what does he want us to do? That should be the first consideration. So anyway, the question was asked to one of the Archbishops of Canterbury, who's died now. The Archbishops of Canterbury, after appointment, they usually die quite soon, because they're usually appointed when they're quite old. So he said, for the first 100 years, I will praise God. Remember, you're going there for eternity. Eternity is a long time. So 100 years is not a very long time to set aside. And then he said, after the first 100 years, I will praise God, and then after that, I will enjoy myself. This is the problem of why this world is not home, because everyone's thinking, I will enjoy myself. Instead of thinking, what am I meant for doing? Why are we not happy this way? If we analyze, we can see that we're not happy in this world. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, describing the nature of this material world, Dukhalayam, it is a place of misery, not happiness. If we analyze, we can see that's actually a fact. Why is that so? Lord Krishna explained, Janma Mrityu Jaravyadhi. There is birth, death, old age and disease, all these are miserable. And on top of that, Chintama Parimayam Cha, we're always full of anxiety, and especially in the modern age, in Kali Yuga, everything just seems to go wrong. So many causes for distress, even in Dubai, where there are all efforts to all arrangements so that people can live peacefully and happily and nicely. But even in Dubai, where it's undoubtedly from the material point of view an extraordinarily well-developed and amazing foresight that developed this whole city in the desert, and undoubtedly it's something in the modern world which is something quite amazing that's been made so that people can live here happily and come here and enjoy tourism. But still, despite all arrangements, people suffer in various ways, because that is the nature of the material world. Whatever arrangements we make for enjoyment, they can never be full and successful, because the very nature of this world is that it is full of suffering. What is the cause of that suffering? Well, that can be analyzed in various ways. Lord Krishna says, Icha Dvesha Samuthena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Sammoham Sarve Yanti Bharata. We are born in this world, we come into this world with various material desires, and concomitant with that is bad feeling towards others. And these two bad qualities of having material desires, what I want to do, personal desire, and envy of others, that is compounded by illusion, by which we don't understand who we are, what we are, where we belong. So that we find that even people who they seem to be very nice. We meet people, we might meet some people down the road who are very nice people, who are very, very polite and friendly. But then you'll find they'll be against some other people, just like there's a feeling between Indians and Pakistanis, although from the material point of view, they're all people. But there's some feeling, these are our enemies. So even people who are very nice among their own group, they may be very bad in dealings with others. Just like the lion, if you see the lions with the cubs, they're very affectionate. The cubs love the mother and father, and the mother and father love each other. But if the young of, say, some young zebra or buffalo comes, then without thinking, the mother, who is very affectionate and very loving toward her own cubs, will go and catch that baby zebra, without thinking that the baby zebra also has a mother, and they also have some, but they're ruthless. And will take and kill them to fill it, to feed their own children. So in this material world, love is there, but it's always mixed up with hate and bad feeling. Pure love means when we think, how can I serve Krishna? Krishna is the center. Krishna has no bad feeling toward anyone. So when we think to serve Krishna, then there's no hatred toward anyone else, because that is our eternal position. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. So we're all in the same family. If we see like that, then we won't have bad feeling toward others, which is generated by thinking that I belong to this group. These are our enemies. No, we have no enemies. And Shastra very insightfully warns us that our only enemies are our uncontrolled senses. We are our own enemy. By thinking of myself as an enjoyer of this world and thinking of others as rival enjoyers, who are trying to enjoy the same things as me. I want to dominate them. They're trying to dominate me. And then rivalry comes. So in this material world, there cannot be a peaceful situation. We do not belong here. We should cultivate a sense of feeling uncomfortable. I don't belong here. Some transcendentalists, they cultivate a sense of being uncomfortable, literally. For instance, by sitting on thorns or walking barefoot, even if their feet are cut. They're deliberately accepting wearing clothes just like sackcloth, which makes the rashes on the skin. They deliberately cultivate a sense of discomfort. In Krishna consciousness, we generally don't do that, but mentally or philosophically, we try to understand, I do not belong in this world. I can never be happy. I think, I don't belong in Dubai. I don't belong in India either. I don't belong in this world at all. I belong with Krishna. So this sense is to be cultivated primarily by hearing such topics again and again and again. That there is the spiritual world. We are meant to go back home, back to Godhead. We do not belong in this world. Without hearing this repeatedly, we may, even if we are performing devotional service, we may tend to think that, well, Krishna is there, he will look after me in this world. This is my main place. We tend, unless we hear again and again that we do not belong in this world, that we tend to identify with this world. We tend to identify with this body. It's a very strong facet of Maya. For instance, when I get a toothache, I feel it, and it seems real, and in one sense, it definitely is real. Then in another sense, we have to think, well, actually, it's got nothing to do with me. It's something temporary to do with the body. I'm not the body. I don't belong here in this world. And people who understand this, they can actually tolerate pain, that's physical pain. Worse than physical pain is mental pain, emotional pain, when someone who we expect to treat us kindly, they treat us very unkindly. So that hurts. But we have to understand that we have nothing to do with anything in this world. Nothing. What we have to do in this room, of course we're associated with devotees, but that on the spiritual platform. We associate with devotees not on the basis of their body or what they can do for our body, but how we can parasparopakatanam. We discuss mutually with them about Krishna, topics of Krishna consciousness, teachings of Bhagavad Gita, hearing about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has very kindly enabled the people of the world to be able to discuss about Krishna. Previously, most of the people in the world had no opportunity to discuss about Krishna because they had no information about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada very kindly translated many books about Krishna. And even people in India, although they had access to that, they had no interest in that. People in general, still nowadays, people don't have much interest in that. So Srila Prabhupada, he gave the opportunity to hear about Krishna by presenting his books and the whole culture based on that books, which means dramas, festivals, kirtan, of course. And Srila Prabhupada also made propaganda for that. That people, he didn't just make it available, that okay, it's here, but aggressively promoting that we should be interested in this. If we're not interested in Krishna, or at least trying to understand the topics of Krishna, that we are eternal, we do not belong in this material world, then we are simply wasting our life uselessly. But we are very grateful to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada for giving us this opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. Always remember, Smaran Nityam Anityagham. Always remember, everything here is temporary. Because it's very easy to get sucked into this, into just the thinking that what I am doing here and now, it's so important. But we should remember, everything will be forgotten. This Dubai was sand. In the beginning of the Bible, it said about dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So in course of time, this all Dubai will again go to be sand. And your home, your beautiful home, that will be destroyed in course of time. Nothing here will stay. Body will not stay. Friends, relatives, all that will pass away. What is eternal is our relationship with Krishna and our relationship in the spiritual world with Krishna's devotees. So here in this world, we want to cultivate relationships with others on the basis of Krishna consciousness. Understanding that someone may be Indian, someone else non-Indian, someone else is very educated, someone is less educated, someone is male, someone is female, someone is has certain kind of personality, someone else has another kind of personality. These are just some passing phases. It's got nothing to do with our actual personality as a servant of Krishna. So always remember these basic points. As well as reading Srila Prabhupada's books, I must also recommend, as Srila Prabhupada always did himself, to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Please listen to Srila Prabhupada. Listen to his lectures. Srila Prabhupada took the trouble in the very earliest time that he was in America to record his lectures, even if there were only one or two people present, or even if there was no one present. Because his Sri Gurudev Srila Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur said, even if there's no one present, you preach. Preaching is so important. So Srila Prabhupada did that. He would preach with a tape recorder. He would preach to the tape recorder. And now we can still hear them. So please listen to the voice of the topmost Paramahamsa Mahabhagavat devotee who Krishna sent to this world, who by his speaking can purify our consciousness, how he speaks again and again and again on what we may call very basic topics, just so that we can understand very clearly, get our direction right. If our basis is very strong, then we can go on very nicely. Otherwise, it may seem that we're doing very nicely, but if we're not very clearly focused and understand, we don't belong here, we have nothing to do with this material world. Our real home is back to Godhead in the spiritual world with Krishna. If we're not clear on this point, then again, Maya can suck us up. Maya is always ready to suck us up. She doesn't take any holidays, not even for a second. So we always have to be alert. We find this word, ananya chintayantam, ananya cheta satatam kirtiyantam. Again and again, Krishna stresses, always, always, always be absorbed in this consciousness. So this will help us very much if we hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures, read his books. It's a very simple practice. It will help us tremendously to be focused, clear, understanding. What are we doing in this world? We're doing whatever is required to get out of this world and to go to the spiritual world, and to also, within our capacity, help others to go also. So let us all go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada said, this is the back to Godhead movement, which means this movement is meant for sending people back to Godhead. We also have to make it that we shall go back to Godhead. It also means that there's this magazine which Srila Prabhupada put much emphasis on. So he said the Back to Godhead magazine is the backbone of our movement. So he also wanted that widely distributed. Some devotees are making an effort to do that, particularly in Tamil language. So always remember, Smaran Nityam Anityatvam. Always remember everything here is temporary. Our eternal, real, positive position is with Krishna in the spiritual world. We can cultivate that now by following the process of devotional service. We do not belong here, we belong with Krishna. If we can absorb that, or make some more, become more convinced of that, then these few words which I've spoken here, long 40 minutes I've been speaking, but the essence is very simple. We are meant for going back home, back to Godhead, in the spiritual world, we belong there. Don't feel comfortable here, don't try to be comfortable here. We can never be comfortable here. Our real home, our real sanctuary, our real shelter is with Krishna in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you for the appreciation. I didn't come to get a clap, but please think about what I've said and think how you can incorporate that into your whole approach to life. That will be more pleasing for me than a clap. Appreciate your clap, but take it a little further on. Thank you very much. Questions? Yeah. If there are any questions, please ask. Preferably in line with the subject. Otherwise, there can be unlimited. The subject that I spoke on today. Otherwise, there can be unlimited questions.
Maybe
the
first 10 minutes we'll have on the subject and then some rapid
fire.
How much more time do we have?
We set up to 1:20.
Okay.
15 minutes. Alright, if you want to ask a question, how to do that. We have a cordless mic. No. Otherwise, write down on a piece of paper, stand up and yell if you have a bad voice. Or if you're fairly near the front, we could pass the mic to you. A cordless mic could be procured.
We have stock.
Yeah.
Sunil Mata Prabhu?
This can extend it to half the hall. Okay. Hindi, English, both?
Yeah, okay, please speak loudly. No, we'll keep it in English for now, because the whole thing is going on in English. If anyone wants to ask in Hindi, they can do so if they're not comfortable to speak in English. But I'll reply in English. Ah, yes, please speak loudly. That's the answer. Chant Hare Krishna. There are so many Mayavadis and not many devotees. Why do they? We go and preach, but the Mayavadis don't become devotees. Why is it like that? Well, there could be several replies. That verse I quoted, Ichha Dvesha Samuttena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Samaham Sarga Yanti Paranta. People are covered by material desires, ignorance. Actually, the real Mayavadis, their real Mayavadis are not in Dubai. They wouldn't come. This is a place of sense gratification. Mayavadis are interested in moksha. There's no moksha here. We can think ourselves that why am I not preaching well enough? But anyway, we should understand that this conditioning of material life is very deep. We're very Krishna bahimok hoya bhogavancha kare. We come to this world because we're inimical to Krishna. Mayavad is the desire to have spiritual liberation without serving Krishna is another contamination. People are attached not to serve Krishna, so we have to preach more. At the same time, we don't expect that everyone will become Krishna conscious. You can invite people to come gradually for festivals, especially those who are not regularly coming here. And they like to come for festivals, gradually bring them and give them Prabhupada's books, give them prasad. Do what you can. It's amazing that anyone is chanting Hare Krishna in this material world. Not surprising that people are not chanting Hare Krishna. In my bodies may also be chanting Hare Krishna. But their attitude is not one of service to Krishna. Yeah, okay. So, anything else? No? Alright then. So we can all...
They're writing.
Some of them are writing. Okay, anyone wants to jump in quickly, they can stand up and speak.
What are the rules of spiritual world?
What are the rules of the spiritual world? I spoke about that. There are rules in the home that you have to follow. So I gave the analogy of the spiritual world. It's not that we just go there to enjoy ourselves. There are rules to follow. Yeah, there are rules in the home, but in a happy home, it's not a rule-dominated home. The rules are there, but everyone cooperates out of a sense of mutual good feeling. So in the spiritual world also there are rules, but people are not rule-conscious, they're Krishna-conscious. They're thinking how to please Krishna. So the rule of the spiritual world is smartavya satatam vishnu vismartavya na janatuchi. Always to think of Krishna and not to forget Krishna. But people are fully cognizant of those of that rule, and they live by it. They don't even think of it. Just like there's one rule: if you want to stay alive in this body, you have to go on breathing. But you don't think about it. Okay, now breathe in. Now breathe in. We don't think. It's just concomitant with our existence. So in the spiritual world, it's not that everyone's thinking, okay, now I have to serve, I have to remember Krishna. But it comes naturally. But for us who are on the outside of the spiritual world trying to get in, we should know that that is the rule which we have to follow, otherwise we can't get in. For us it's a rule that we have to be Krishna conscious. For those who are in the spiritual world, it's so natural to them, they don't think of it as a rule, and it's not presented as a rule. It's just a way of life there. Even after coming to Krishna consciousness, why can we not be determined? You give the answer. Why are you such a fool and a rascal? Even after getting such good knowledge, you still don't have faith. So associate with devotees. This is a common question. Why are we not determined? Why are we not sincere? Why do we fall down? Why? Ultimately, the answer is with yourself. Why? But if we feel lacking in some department, then sangat sanjayate kamaha, our desires develop by association. So find those devotees who you feel have that quality you want to imbibe, and associate with them, and you will also imbibe that quality. Even the devotees maintain clothes, jewelry, cosmetics, wealth, etc., much more than is required, than what is required, in addition to big houses and cars. Is this justified? Well, Srila Prabhupada, he said that householders have a license for sense gratification. That means not unlimited sense gratification, but it's also understood that people are at different levels, and not everyone is ready to fully surrender to Krishna in all respects. The desire to have a big house and a big car is not very suitable for Krishna consciousness. So we should gradually become detached from such desires, or if there is cooperation of husband and wife in such matters, then they can decide, you know, this is how we want to live our life. We don't want all these big things. We will live simply and chant Hare Krishna. So that is more desirable. It may be by the grace of God one is given such things. Just like Sudama, who was very poor, then by Krishna's desire he became very rich, but he wasn't attached to such things. So we should not desire such things. But if such things come without any great difficulty, we can also use them in Krishna's service. It's not necessary to have a huge wardrobe of expensive clothes. Better we use the, if we have extra money, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends, Jodi thake bahudan tabe hao akinchan vaishnava karo upaka, which I think you can understand. If you have lots of money, then don't be attached to it, but use that for the service of Vaishnava. That is better. And again, it doesn't mean that grihasthas have to all dress in rags. You dress nicely, live comfortably, and chant Hare Krishna. When one takes up Krishna consciousness, one mostly takes up the process because the end is that one wants eternal happiness. So how can we explain that? Because that's what we're meant for. Why does a fish out of water want to go to the water? And the fish is meant to be in water. So it's our nature to be eternally happy. So naturally we should aspire for that. That is possible in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna is written here. In the spiritual world, women, money, property are a hindrance for men. What is the... Oh, in the spiritual path, women, money, property are a hindrance for men. What is the hindrance for women devotees? I should rephrase this. Maybe the most famous saying of Jesus Christ is that money is the root of all evil. Have you heard that? that's attributed to Jesus. So Jesus said that, but that's not the whole saying. What he said is that, does anyone know? The love of money is the root of all evil. So money in itself is not bad, but attachment to it is bad. It's not just bad, it's the root of all evil. Quite the same, if we think about it. The love of money is, why do people do bad things? If we boil it comes down to sense gratification. Money is the vehicle for sense gratification. But if we have, money, women, property, they can also be used for Krishna's service. So, I'm a sannyasi. I'm intimately connected with many women. So now you can throw me out. But it's a spiritual connection. Disciples and others. It's not a physical or material connection. Seeing them as not women, but as spirit soul. But as long as they're in this world, there has to be some recognition. Men, women like this. So in the Bhagavatam, in the third chapter, there's a long discussion on Kapila Devi, in which he states how women are a trap for men. There's a whole discussion. And at the end it says that round the other way also. If a woman sees a man as the provider of sense gratification, then that's also a trap for her. So man and woman should live together peacefully and happily, understanding that we're both meant for serving Krishna, and in this way the material attachments can be diminished. I wrote one book, actually. There's a lot of misunderstanding about these kind of things in the modern world. This idea of women's liberation and all this. This Krishna conscious movement is, we firmly believe in women's liberation and men's liberation and every living being's liberation from this material world. Go back home, back to Godhead. But as far as the idea of women being from the social platform being independent, Srila Prabhupada was very much warning against that. So I wrote one book recently. Are there copies here available?
Yes.
It's called Women, Masters, or Mothers. So you can read that also. It's a new book by myself, based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings, which you can go through.
More questions.
Rapid fire questions.
Rapid fire. The thing is that each question can be answered in great detail. And so we just have to do. Therefore, read Prabhupada's books. Take time. Take the time to shravan, manan, nididhyasana. These are terms from the Upanishads. Hear, think about it, absorb it, make it part of your life. Okay, even when we are staying here in India, there's actually no deep feeling of belonging, and hence we, that's good. And hence we keep searching how to develop feelings of faith and belonging back home in Krishna. Can you give us practical ways to practice on a daily basis? Same thing with it, how to be determined, how to develop this, associate with devotees who have that. There's also the practical process of becoming attached to Krishna, is the process of sadhana bhakti. Another book I put together on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's teachings is A Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness, which gives practical information on how we can live in our life, whether we're married, not married, living at home, living in a student hostel, whatever situation we're in, we can practice Krishna consciousness, what to do and what not to do. Question. All civilizations have their own set of superior beings. For example, the Greeks have their own sets of gods and goddesses, and the Mayans have their own gods. The Semitic religions, their set of angels, Satan, etc. The Vedic civilization also have their own set of gods and goddesses.
who are the, I can't, who made this question? I just can't read the some words. Oh, who are the true set of superiors? That's a very interesting question, which really can't be dealt with in 2 minutes. I did give a lecture on this recently, because atheists, it recently means sometime last year. If you look on my website, you might find it. Atheists, they often say, well, you believe in my God. Which God? Do you believe in Zeus or Jupiter or Thor or Krishna or Shiva or Yahweh or Allah? But the actual fact is that there is one God, but he reveals himself and manifests himself, or is conceived of, by different peoples in different times and different places in different ways. So it's not that there are many gods, there's one God. Who is superior? Well, when there's one God, then he is superior. But there are also demigods or sub-gods. So, as I said, I can't answer this very briefly. Please, come regularly and hear and understand and try to understand all these points. But in terms of spiritual knowledge and spiritual culture, definitely we can give the answer better than others. I can say that from a neutral point of view, because in my youth I was looking at all these things and thinking, well, who really knows what they're talking about? Definitely their religion, there's something going on, but they're all arguing with each other. What is the samanvai? What is the harmonization of all of this? So that is there. In the Vedic literature, especially as presented by the Vaishnavas, which means Vaishnava Prabhupada, for us. Many people say that there is no need to follow rules. Okay, so don't eat, or eat stool, or eat through your ear. No need to follow rules. You're following rules in every moment. Don't breathe. There's a rule of nature that if you don't breathe, you die. So that's a rule which is imposed on you. Don't follow rules. Drive on the wrong side of the road. This is nonsense. I don't know if it's even worth to read the rest of the question. It's such a nonsensical question. I won't read that. If anyone says that to you, you can just tell them, okay. Demonstrate, you don't follow them. Just go and drive on the wrong side of the road. Show me that you believe in this. And don't eat. Don't breathe. Even after ISKCON having many followers, the population is still increasing. Population of what? The world? Why is ISKCON supposed to reduce the population? Sorry, I don't understand the question.
Saying people are going back to Godhead.
People are going back to Godhead.
Why is population not reducing in the material world?
Oh, I see. Everyone's going back to Godhead. Have you seen all the population of the universe? Eta Brahmanda Bari Ananta Jivagam. They're practically unlimited living beings. If you think that it's not only the humans are jivas, but people are coming up from animal species. They become humans, and humans become animals. So it's not that if people are becoming liberated, then the population will decrease. But if you take all the population of all the living beings, the number of humans is very small. What is this? I can't read this. We have to... I'll read another one in the meantime. During preaching programs with me, people who do not believe in the concept of the soul. So any topic they take up, they are unable to comprehend or believe. Any tips or tricks for such people who do not believe in the soul concept? Yeah, read the beginning of The Science of Self-Realization. You'll get a full primer in how to present the reality of the soul to people who do not believe in it. How to overcome problems that make us believe that this world or any activity will bring us happiness. Yeah, go on hearing.
Out of this question.
Go on hearing from Srila Prabhupada and his followers and read his books, and then you'll get the right perspective instead of thinking that this world is a place of happiness. Yeah.
We love to hear about what Lord Krishna has said.
Very good.
But it is very difficult to follow it.
It's very difficult to follow it.
What do I do in such condition?
Same answer. Follow the process of devotional service. Associate with devotees. Read Srila Prabhupada's books. I remember the first time that I listened to one lecture of Srila Prabhupada's, which he gave in France, in Paris, in which the first four words of that lecture really struck me. And it's words that he often said, but on this occasion it really struck me. Srila Prabhupada was lecturing on the verse Man Manav Bhavabhag Bhakta Madhyaji Mandavasku. I can't remember whether it was the last verse of the 9th chapter or the 65th verse of the 18th chapter. But anyway, I think it was from the 9th chapter, 34 or something. So the translation was read, the purport was read, and Srila Prabhupada opened his lecture with four words, actually five, because he usually opened with, so, what is the difficulty? And then Srila Prabhupada said, is it very difficult to think about Krishna? And when Srila Prabhupada said it, then we think, no, it's not difficult. And for Prabhupada, it's very easy, but we find it very difficult. But when Prabhupada said, actually, what is the difficulty? Srila Prabhupada explained from the Bhagavad Gita, we were just hearing that last night. Srila Prabhupada was explaining this. How does that verse begin? That Shabda ke Paurashang Rishu Rasoham Apsukonteya Prabhasmi Sashi Suryo Pranava Sarva Vedeshu Shabda ke Paurashang Rishu. And Srila Prabhupada said, any illumination, not only of the sun and the moon, that comes from Krishna. So we can always think of, we always see light, and we can always think of Krishna. So what is the difficulty? Actually, it shouldn't be difficult, but due to a bad habit, bad practice, since time immemorial, anadi karma phale pari bhavarna vajale, tari bari nadaki upa. We are in this material ocean since time immemorial. It seems unnatural. What is natural for us to think of Krishna seems unnatural. So we have to take the remedial course, which is to follow the process of sadhana bhakti, reach your Prabhupada's books, associate with the devotees. Same answer. I can take 50 questions, I can take 40 of them out, and just get the same answer to every one of them. Have faith in this process. Apply yourself to it.
That's all.
Hare Krishna.